Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
And lady, wherever she is. I thought Frank was on again this morning. He did such a good job last week. I thought he was on again this morning. Just because he got to the last verse of the chapter 3, I didn't think he was finished yet. So. Thank you, Brother Frank, for that. Good message. Yes, sir.
Greg can give us an update on Gail, on his surgery, and we got a card that's going to go around for everybody to sign.
Yeah, there's a card going around for you to sign for Gail. He's on home, but go ahead and tell us about him.
Gail's surgery went okay. He's got his jaw, titanium replacement of his jaw, and it took 4.5 hours to do it. They couldn't get it lined up right, and they finally got it lined up and got it replaced. He's going home this morning, and he says he wished he could be here.
No.
I don't think he feels like being here,
No.
but he wished he could be here, and he thanks y'all for your prayers. And
good, good.
And he's just going home today, and hopefully everything will be back here pretty soon.
Dr. Henneke, thank you for his prayer, for the prayers for him. I think he's taking a long vacation time for him. He's not usually going anywhere except revivals and camp meetings and Salvation Army to be gone 2 weeks. But I checked with him and he said, he plans to be back next week if all goes well. I don't know what that means, but so let's pray all will go well. But I think we can continue to pray for those of us who need the prayers. Got any special requests? Jenny doing a little bit better. We've been praying for her, but she still needs our prayers. Yes, sir.
I think a few weeks ago I mentioned Ethiopia, to pray for Ethiopia because of the political turmoil, and literally the nation could have turned into serious situation, or Somalia, you know. And many Christians have been praying, and I asked you to pray for that as well. Amazing things have happened. God goes beyond what we ask sometimes. For the second time, a Christian, a born-again Christian, became a leader in the country. And he has brought peace, you know, among the rivals and people that were trying to create and foment problem in the country. It's peaceful. And in fact, he has gone to Saudi Arabia and was able to for the government to release 1,400 Ethiopians that were incarcerated. And he goes to neighboring countries and trying to create peace. So I thank the Lord for such an amazing answer to prayer, and I appreciate you for praying about that.
Amen. Good. 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 Yes, sir.
I have two friends who need prayer for cancer. They're battling cancer.
Oh, wow. Okay.
One's been a lifelong friend out in California, and he's got a form of leukemia.
Oh.
And the other one is Chris Minkin. He's part of our Emmaus Fellowship there at First National.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they removed a tumor about the size of a grapefruit last year, but his cancer's come back.
Wow. Yeah.
So
okay.
We both need our prayers.
Okay.
Mark and Chris.
Okay. Mark and Chris. Any other prayer requests? I'm going to come over here by my friend, the missionary Chaser, and ask him if he would lead us in prayer this morning.
I'd be happy to. Dr. Toby is one of my prayer partners. I could tell you story after story of this man, but I won't. I'll just pray.
Praise the Lord.
Lord Jesus, we come hopefully and expectantly to you. We thank you for the life that you've given us.
Mm.
We thank you that you finally got through to us so that we could hear what you had to offer. We thank you for the way that you have walked with us and blessed us and amazingly even used us. Lord, we heard some of the requests this morning, but you know that there are a lot of other requests that were brought into this room that were not spoken. And I pray, as you do so often, just turn this room into a sanctuary and meet us with your presence, because your presence will be adequate for everything that we need. And together, we pray especially for Dr. Toby this morning, Lord Jesus, and for Pat, too. I didn't hear her name mentioned, but I pray for them this morning that you would bless them and continue to use them as they are used to bless us. We love you. Pray this with great hope, because we pray in the name of your Son. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother Frank, I want to thank you for last week. I listened to it on the tape, and I want to especially thank Tom for his testimony about the fact that this group is not just a Bible study group that meets here. It reaches out. He told you about a man that really was lost. Started coming here and fell in love with you people and fell in love with the Lord and changed his whole life. Several of us went to his funeral, and his wife just couldn't get over the fact that this group just took him in. I was over at Shoney's the other day with my brother. And when we walked in, of course, we started getting hugs. All three of the girls just come up, and it's just, they were so pleased. And Janet stood back, and she said, "Oh, now I see the problem." Last year when my brother was up, when he got ready to leave, he went by Shoney's to eat. And she met him at the door and hugged him. And he said, "Dear lady, I don't think I know you, and I know you don't know me." She said, "What do you mean I don't know you? I see you every Friday morning." So he went and sat down. When she came back a little bit later, he said, "By the way, you have never seen me before. That's my brother." And so when we walked in there the other day, she came and said, "Now I can hug both of you." And the girls send their regards to you and said to tell you how much they miss us being there. And I think that's more than just the fact that they got money from us. Amen. I think the impact has been great there. And I thank you for those testimonies. And Rick, by the way, I'll tell you, they didn't delete the tape. They didn't edit it. They just left it in there for you. So you just went out, whoever, they just had to hear it. That's right. But it's okay. It worked out fine. And I appreciate the fact that this group is not based on Dr. Henneke, nor me, nor Frank, nor you. It's based on us. But its foundation is the Holy Spirit. Amen. Aren't you glad? Amen. It's wonderful to be around. I thought Brother Frank was going to continue on. He got wound up so good, had to bring it to a stop at end of chapter 3. But he could have gone on chapter 4. You know, he just continues on. And so we're always glad to be back with you and to share with you. You know, a couple of weeks ago when I was going, we were reading about the Holy Spirit, and we had to cut short. I still had some more verses to be read, and we had to cut them short. Pentecost has come and gone. The day has. Pentecost Sunday. I just have to tell you, I was really excited at our church on Pentecost Sunday. We have several congregations that meet in our church almost simultaneously, not quite simultaneously, but we have four language services, and they all met in the sanctuary. That was exciting. The bulletin was a little thicker than usual because all the scriptures were written in all four languages. And standing up there in the front are these people going to read the scripture, each one in their own language. And then we had some prayers in some of these languages. And then we had some songs in some of these languages. I'm sitting there saying to myself, boy, what the day of Pentecost must have been like. We get so tied up in the fact of the tongues. We want unknown tongues, but it doesn't say that. It said they heard in their own tongue. And I thought about that when I was sitting there. Here are all these people sitting here, and they're hearing in their own tongue. But now, I have to tell you, he and his wife were sitting there. And when Tech and his wife were sitting there, they represent another language. And then just behind me, I kept hearing these guys talking. I thought, I might have to turn around and correct these guys a little bit. Then I realized, well, wait. One of the young men understood English pretty well, and he was translating into German, the boy sitting beside him. And then back a little further back is a young couple that came to us a few months ago from Brazil. Portuguese. So here now they're going to do the Portuguese. And so we got the Portuguese going. I cannot tell you. And when Tom's sitting there thinking, I don't know what he's thinking in. He can think in about five different languages, especially the African languages. And so he could probably get along with them pretty well, you know. So, but I got to thinking about that. When the Holy Spirit comes, he can speak your language. Isn't that good? Whatever your language is, he can speak your language. And so we didn't get to finish all my verses from a couple of weeks ago. And so I'm just going to tell you, somebody can read for us. Let's go back and pick up John 20:22. Who's going to read that one for me? 20:22. Where? Somebody. Okay. 20:22. And then let's go to Acts 1:1-8. And then let's go to Acts 2. Who's got Acts 2, 7 through 14? Acts 2. Okay, and then Acts 4, 31. Acts 4, 31, okay? And then Acts chapter 10, we'll just hold on to it. So we'll work on it a little bit. Now, John 20:22, yeah, this is one of those puzzling things for me because the day of Pentecost hadn't come yet. Okay? Somebody read, who had that one? Okay, read it for us, Ron.
Okay, I'm reading that out of the ESV. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld.
Mm-hmm. Now, Brother Jim, I get concerned about this breathing problem in there in the Greek. You remember when you faced that once before? You remember creation, what he did? What did he do? Breathed. I don't understand that, but now Pentecost hasn't come yet and he's going to give these guys the Holy Spirit. Now, it doesn't talk about there was an altar call. It doesn't talk about a hellfire brimstone sermon. Just say he breathed on them. We sing a song about that sometimes, don't we? About breathe on me, Holy Spirit. I just have to tell you, that's where I am. Through all my studies in here about the Holy Spirit, I keep praying, Father, whatever that means, breathe on me. And then I got to think about, what if he does breathe the Holy Spirit on me? Then what? Now, this is where our theologians mess us up. Because they all have different ideas about it. The one they don't talk a whole lot about, though, is the power that comes from the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. And people tell me all the time, well, you can't live without sin. I said, no. But I can live without sinning. Now, I've got brothers and sisters around the world that will debate that tooth and toenail. And I said to them, that's okay. You don't want your sin forgiven? That's fine. Oh, yes, I do. I said, then you have to pray all the time then, don't you? Because you go pray every day and where it thought needs a lot of prayer time going on here. So, but the Holy Spirit comes with a power that is more powerful than the power of Satan. I believe that. It isn't that I can't sin, it's that I cannot sin. Not because of how great I am or how good I am or how powerful I am, but how powerful the Holy Spirit is. I am not willing to say that the Holy Spirit cannot defeat sin. And so I keep asking the Lord, what do I need to do to have you breathe on me this Holy Spirit? Can I receive the power to allow you to live through me so that others will become believers? And I've gotten over the denominational problem. I've been in all kinds of denominations. I've preached in all kinds of churches. Even the Catholic Church. They let me in the Catholic Church. When my uncle died, my aunt's a devout Catholic woman. She's passed now too, but I went down to his funeral and she said to me, I want you to say a few words about Cecil. I said, the fathers are not going to let me stand up there and speak. She said, they will too. So I went to the funeral. And there we are, sitting there. And finally, the good brother, he was dressed. I mean, I cannot tell you all the rigmarole he had on. So he looked over at me and said, Brother Williams has a word to say. I got up there, and this congregation of 99.9% Catholics heard this Protestant speak to them. The Holy Spirit gives us opportunities that we aren't aware of, but the message is the same. Are you hearing me? Amen. Don't get so caught up in a theological crisis that you forget that God's in control. Now you and I know, we grew up in a kind of strange world. That is very dogmatic. We were right and they were wrong. Now let's just think about how you felt when you went to some other churches. I can tell you about Brother Frank. Brother Frank dared in his younger days to come to First Church of Nazarene. I'm probably safe in saying, Brother Frank, you had your guard up. I used to go to the Baptist church once in a while because I was playing ball with them, and you had to go at least once a month to be able to play ball with them. Remember those, huh? Yeah. I have to tell you, when I walked up the steps, I had my guard up. They didn't sing like we sang. They didn't pray like we prayed. And the preacher was biased. And when it came, I'm getting on hot water here, but when it came communion time, guess what? No communion with Tobe. You might play ball, but not this kind of ball. You're not one of us, you don't get the communion. I have to tell you, I've been that way in some Church of Christ at times. But you know what? I got over that kind of a problem. Because the Holy Spirit knows how to live through all of our confrontations that don't amount to a hill of beans. Now, we have fought over them. We grew up fighting over them. I mean, and I'm not sure it was all bad. I think we need to have some things that we hold on to. But how long has it been since you have been praying and asking the Holy Spirit, breathe on me? There were no cloven tongues of fire. There was no mighty rushing wind. There was no tongues. He just breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And then they went out to do what God wanted them to do. I think one of our problems in the church world has been for a long time has been that too many people have gone out wanting to do what they wanted to do rather than what God wanted them to do. That make sense? Ed?
I keep thinking about something you just said. I think we know you well enough to say that when you were giving that presentation in that Catholic fellowship, you were suggesting, you were proclaiming.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I had to tell them something they probably didn't want to hear, but I had to tell them how my uncle bowed and prayed in a hospital room and asked the Lord to forgive him of his sins. I didn't have any holy water. I couldn't sprinkle him. I didn't have anything to wave over him. I just got him by the hand and prayed. And he prayed with me. And I said to that group that day, whether you want to accept it or not, God accepted him. And that's the most important thing of all. Yes, sir.
I got to confess it. My concern is what you said about the Holy Spirit directly. It's pretty scary. What if he asked me to do some things he asked some of them men in the Bible to do? It's easy for me to say, oh, they should have just gone on and done it. You know, it's the Lord. But the bottom line is, there's some fear there. And trembling.
Fear not. Whatever he calls you to do, he will empower you to do it. And he went ahead of you. He knows what we're able to do. And he knows what he is able to do through us. My problem is I sometimes am not sure. And he has to shake me a bit. But there's more to this Holy Spirit than the wind blowing and the fire. The Holy Spirit is God himself. And folks, if he says it, it's right. Well, let's go to my next verse. I got another verse here. Let's go down to verses, Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8.
In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up into heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convicting proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.
Mm. Now see, when I was growing up, that verse was to teach you about holiness, to teach you about being sanctified and living the holy life. I just have to confess to you, it was not easy to try to convince people you were holy. That just did not go over very well.
Still doesn't.
In fact, I think a few times I've been called a holy roller. And I'm not against this being a scripture about holiness. But as I grew older, I caught on to something in there that I probably needed a lot earlier. He said, you are going to receive power. I have to admit to you, some of my colleagues thought that that was a power to rule everything. When some people become ministers, they think that they are the authority. Jesus said he gave them the power to witness about him. Witnessing about him doesn't mean that you have to talk about it. Witnessing about him is allowing his Holy Spirit to live through you so that others will be convicted to believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. How do you know that? Because he lives in you. And if he lives in you and you let him live out through you, you are exercising the power that he gave you. I needed a lot of that power because I was a prejudiced soul. That's an ugly word. I was biased. I was indoctrinated. And it took me a long time to learn that I was supposed to love my neighbors, I love myself. And like so many, I argued about who my neighbor was. They couldn't be Baptists. And certainly not Presbyterian.
We didn't have a chance.
Sir?
Church of Christ didn't have a chance.
Oh, no. Oh, no. No, no.
They were the only ones there.
They were next to the Holy Rollers. I mean, that's the, you know, and the interesting thing is, I thought I was a member of the Church of Christ until some people who were members of the Church of Christ told me, no, you haven't been baptized by us. I said, but Jesus said I was one of the Church of Christ. They said, no. Now, do I need to tell you that I had a little problem internally? I don't know if you had to pray over these kinds of things or not, but I'm going to tell you what. The power that the Holy Spirit puts in you will convict you. And will condemn you. And will forgive you. And will empower you. But you got to get over yourself. And sometimes you have to get over what you've been taught. Yes, sir.
The song that you've been...
Speak up.
The song that you've been giving the first line on is, breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew.
Yes.
Which is, I think, the difference from what we were taught when I was young on this issue of holy, living holy, holy life. Is that we went after it, not after him. And that's what makes all the difference in the
world. Oh, yeah.
The filling of the Holy Spirit, if he cannot keep us a pure and clean, if he can't keep us pure and clean within, then Calvary missed it. Yeah. He is the one that does that. It's not our doing, it's his doing. And as long as we keep him within us, he will permeate out of us and keep us a pure, clean person. Yeah.
And even though Paul and Luke were writing back to Theophilus, he was reminding Theophilus that Jesus said this. This wasn't Paul's theology. This was Jesus saying to them, you are going to receive power. Power to do what? Whatever you want to do in the name of the Lord. Even be head of a school and put up with all those brats. and their parents.
And their
folks, that is a job. And the teachers. I mean, can you imagine all that goes on in those classrooms? And what they have to say about so many things? Rick probably would be beside himself if he had to do this without the power of the Holy Spirit. He'd be just another man. But the impact that he makes on the lives of these kids and their parents and these teachers is not because Rick is the president of the school, it's because Rick is filled with the Holy Spirit. And whatever you're going to do, ask him to breathe on you. Ask him to fill you with the Holy Spirit. I have some friends of some denominations who say that you get all the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get when you get saved. Well, I was taught that you could receive all the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't think I'm that big. What amazes me is how he can take all the Holy Spirit he wants to give me and all that I am willing to receive, he will supply. And there comes times in my life when I need more of him than at other times. I'll never forget the day I left out of the hospital, headed toward home to tell my wife and my 92-year-old mother, we've lost our boy. He didn't make it. I was trying to think about how I was going to tell him. I said to the Lord, Father, you've given me a mountain to climb. How am I going to tell him? What can I say? By that time, my phone rang. I hate those things. It was my wife. She said, where are you? I said, I'm on my way home. She has these awful words. He's gone, isn't he? You talk about needing the Holy Spirit? And he just slipped in beside me and he said, I'll take care of it. I'm in control. It's all right. I said to people so many times, it's not what I've lost, it's what I had. It's not what I've lost, it's what I have gained. The Holy Spirit will walk with you and empower you through the darkest days of your life. He's always right there. And he empowers you to live out what he has taught us. To love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. You think that's easy? Here's a man that found out that he could witness to an Islamic family. You tried that lately? You got over that bias yet? What would you do if they walked into your church all garbed in their stuff and came and sat down in your church? I can remember back, it's been a few years ago, but I can remember when the group of the preachers got together down in Florida where I was, and they said, these black people are going to come to your church. One pastor said, well, I've got ushers to block them at the back door. I said, what? I said to my board and to my ushers, anybody that comes to that door should get a good handshake and a welcome, regardless of race, color, or creed. If they come to the house of God, don't turn them away. My board said, you're going to let these people come into our church? I said, this is not our church. This is God's house. And you're sending money to missionaries around the world, all kinds of colors and languages, and now you're not going to let them in your own door. What are you going to do if a missionary brings one of them home with him? Like Tom did recently. Aren't you glad we just welcomed him in here and he went away from here knowing that he was loved? Why? Because God empowered us with his Spirit to show love to one another. And I keep asking the Holy Spirit, oh, help me to do more than just live today. Give me the opportunity to tell somebody God's Holy Spirit can see you through anything. And the greatest thing of all is he can forgive your sin and empower you to not hate your neighbor. Well, let's go to, I got another verse down here. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Now we're verses 7 through 14, and you're familiar with this one, but it's interesting.
I have that. I thought we were going to begin with verse 14, but I'm going to
end it. I'm going to end at 14. 7 through 14. Tom's got it.
When this sound occurred, a crowd gathered around and was in confusion because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Completely baffled, they said, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that each one of us hears them in our own native tongue? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and the provinces of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, the parts of Libya near Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own language about the great deeds God has done. All were astonished and greatly confused, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others jeered at the speakers, saying, 'They are drunk with new wine.'"
Isn't that interesting? 14.
And 14 as well. "But Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed them, 'You men of Judea, and all you who live in Jerusalem, know this and listen carefully to what I say. In spite of what you think, these men are not drunk, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is what was spoken of about through the prophet Joel."
Yeah. Yeah. You ever been at church service like that? Yeah, isn't it interesting? It doesn't talk about their speaking. It talks about so much as it does about their hearing. I've said this to you before. And I'll probably say it again sometime. I'm not sure you hear what I say. And I'm not sure I said what you heard. Strange phenomenons happen between my lips and your ears. I know when I was preaching, people come to me afterwards and say things. I thought, wow, did I say that? My students used to do that. I'd be teaching a class and my students would say, I said something that I didn't realize I said. I'd go back and check my tape. And I didn't say that. It sounded pretty good, but I didn't say that. How many times you say to your kids, "You hear what I said?" Uh-huh. They didn't hear what you said. They heard what they wanted to hear. But here is a time when God used his people to talk to other people and they understood what was said. That's one of the things I pray about for the Holy Spirit to help me with. That when, even here, when we're talking, the Holy Spirit does something that you and I can't do on our own. He'll take a word that's said by somebody and penetrate somebody else's heart, and they go away glad that they came, because not because of the individuals, but because the Holy Spirit was at work. And the Holy Spirit is always here. If you didn't find him, that's your problem, not his. What did he say about it? where there are two or three gathered together, I'll be one of them. That Toby translation. I know he said, I'll be in the midst. Well, that means he's one of them. He's always here with us. How long has it been since you've been accused of being drunk? I don't know if I've ever been that filled with the Holy Spirit or not. I think I've acted pretty crazy sometime. I think I have just sat and cried sometime when there was really no reason to cry except the Holy Spirit came and assured me all's well. I'm in control. My problem is, do I let Him control me? Do I allow Him to live out through me? Peter's saying to these people, oh, you've missed it. You have missed it. You know what the prophet Joel said to us? And by the way, he's talking about not only there's regular Jews, but these proselytes. Who wants to be a proselyte? Who wants to be proselyted? That didn't matter to Paul and to Peter and to any of the other apostles. Though Simon Peter's going to have a problem with this, because Simon Peter was like us. He grew up in his congregation. And Simon Peter struggles over who is my neighbor. He doesn't talk about that much, but he's at the house of Simon the Tanner. And they fix him dinner for him, and he goes up to rooftop to take him a little snooze, like some of us do sometime. And while he's up there, he's in some kind of a dream or a trance. I don't know how the Holy Spirit and God's going to work with you, but He'll find a way to get to you. And He gives this little thing to Simon Peter. Remember, three times He lets this stuff down, and Simon Peter says to Him, wait, I can't eat that stuff. I'm a Jew. I always marvel at how people argue with God. Even the apostles. Here's Simon Peter going to argue with Him. And so the Lord just had to just tell him right flat out, Simon, don't call unclean what I have made. Now, Simon had no idea what the Lord was talking about. He's still looking at this food. And he was glad he woke up, because now he's going to go down and eat good old kosher food. And then came the knock at the door. Why? Because back over at the house of Cornelius, the Holy Spirit was at work, and Simon Peter didn't know that. And can you feel with me a little bit about how Simon must have felt when he walked in there, and here are these heathens. I mean, here are these Romans. What are they doing in the house of Simon? Well, our boss sent us, because we have heard that you know about the Holy Spirit, and we need for you to come talk to us. Oh boy. Now, I don't know how you feel about that, but Simon's got a problem. And he admits he's got a problem. Later on, he's going to talk to you about this, you know. And so he goes down, and now he's got to go into the house of Cornelius, the Roman leader. Go into their house. What do you want from me? Well, we have heard that you know about the Holy Spirit. Can't you hear, Simon? What do you have to do about the Holy Spirit? A bunch of heathens? And later, Simon has to go back to his own people in Jerusalem and say to them, oh boy, time for my report. I don't really want to give it. Y'all want to know what happened over there at the house of Cornelius? Well, they claim that they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and wanted to receive the Holy Spirit. And they ain't one of us. They aren't even proselytes. They are Romans. And not only was Cornelius there, but his whole household was there. And I had the opportunity to talk to them. And there's where the power of the Holy Spirit worked out through Simon Peter, in spite of Simon Peter. He said, so we prayed. And they received the Holy Spirit just like we did. Wow. Listen, that was not easy for Simon. That took the power of the Holy Spirit working in Simon Peter. Took the Holy Spirit for David to believe that God could help him walk into the house and into a family of Islamic people and tell them about Jesus Christ.
Toby, could I add something? I think this is very appropriate right now. You know, it talks about your sons and your daughters will prophesy and your young men will see visions. Swati I, the king of Swaziland, had a vision of Jesus holding out a book and a button. And he told him to choose the book or the button. The button meant money. They didn't know what coins were. And you'll be rich, but you'll always have strife and warfare. You choose the book, you'll have peace. And he chose the book, and he sent for people to teach the book. Well, the name of that king, Mswati I, is also Ngwane, which now they've changed. It was Mswati I, so they've changed Swaziland to Eswatini. It's a locative.
Yes.
It means at Swazi's place, at Swazi's place. But his name was changed to Somhlolo, which so means kind of like AKA vision. Mhlolo is a vision. And today, he is still known as Mswati I. We're into Mswati III now. He's the king now, born in our Nazarene hospital, but a spoiled kid. Bought his own 737 a month ago for $35 million.
Wow.
Not for the people, just for his own wives going to Dubai and whatnot. But every time they go for a soccer game, which is often twice a week, at least every Saturday, they're going to Vision Stadium. They go to Somhlolo Stadium and hear that the 8th of September is their July the 4th. And all the Christian women from many denominations, all wearing their distinctive colors, Methodists, their own, Anglicans, their own colors, they all get together and they sing Somhlolo's ballad that tells that story about the first king and the vision and sending off three times to get people to come and tell about the book. And he decreed that no missionary was ever, people of the book were never to be molested, never to be hurt. And to this day, not one missionary has been killed, you know, through murder. Maybe car accidents, yes, but it's just that what we're talking about today, the Holy Spirit is still working with, I'm going to go to Vision Stadium to see a ball game. Still goes on and on today.
Yeah, and the Holy Spirit's still working.
Yeah.
People are still being saved. Well, I skipped one little verse that I needed to go back and talk to a little bit. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. I want you to hear this verse. Yes, sir.
Acts, they prayed, place where they were meeting, was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke the word of God boldly.
Now, this is Peter and John. They were in prison, you remember. And they got out. And they went to this place that was praying for them. and the Holy Spirit preceded them. And they went there and found these people praying for them, not realizing their prayer had already been answered. But once again, I want to bring to your remembrance, the Holy Spirit filled these people. I don't know how to ask you how much of the Holy Spirit you have. I don't know how to ask you how much does the Holy Spirit have of you. I do know this, I can never receive all of the Holy Spirit, because He's God. I can receive as much of Him as it will fill my heart and life. And you can receive as much as you will let Him fill your life. Why? Well, because He promised that. He said to them back there, and I think He would say it to us today, if you really want the Holy Spirit, tarry before God and ask Him to breathe on you. There are going to come times in your life, as has already come many times in your lives, occasions when you really need a power stronger than you normally have in your daily life. Those times come. They come to all of us. I have good news for you. God has His Holy Spirit right there. All you have to do is open up and say, breathe on me, O Spirit of God. And Father, we do pray this morning that You would empower us to be witnesses for You. Let our lives be lights in darkness, where those who walk in darkness will see the great light rather than seeing us, and will receive Your Holy Spirit. Bless each of us today with Your abiding presence. Fill us to capacity. We pray in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. Good Lord bless you.
Toby, can I
yes, sir.
A word of testimony?
Yes, sir.
I grew up in suburban Orange County back in the 50s and 60s. And if you know anything about Orange County, California, back in those days, it was predominantly white, suburban, peaceful. Didn't know anything about God. Later on, I became a Christian, and our church had a hotline, a crisis helpline. And I thought, well, it must be interesting to be a counselor on that. I wasn't a counselor, didn't know anything about it, but they had a class. So I decided, oh, I think I'll take the class, because they said you could take the class without being a counselor on the hotline. And I was fine with that, because I had no intention of being a counselor. Well, you know how God works. I find myself working on this crisis hotline. And the interesting thing about that is occasionally I'd get a caller whose circumstances and background were just completely foreign to me. I couldn't even begin to understand the circumstances that they were in and what they were going through. And I realize as I'm listening on the phone, I have no words. There's nothing in my background that prepares me to give them any hope or any sort of an answer or anything. And I had to pray. And I said, God, help me. This person needs help. Help me, help them. And then words came out of my mouth. And it was like I was having an out-of-body experience. Because these words that came out of my mouth were not my words. They were not thoughts I had ever thought before. And I could hear myself saying these words. And I realized, this is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Talking through me. Mm-hmm. To this person who is in need, and I was blown away.
Mm.
I've never forgotten.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the Holy Spirit can use you, Tom.
Before we close, I got a song request.
Okay.
Go ahead with what you're saying.
I just want to tell you that next week, Chad's going to be gone. But he's left word the place will be open. So don't stay at home simply because he's going to take a little vacation time. Yeah. I'm glad he's going to have some time off.
And he's not asking us to go with him?
not yet. And probably not going to. Yes, sir.
I think, you know, as a coach, when kids had bad habits, you had to unlearn bad habits and learn good habits. I just think about my whole growing up, where I worshiped, they never talked about the Holy Spirit. They didn't understand it. They kind of explained away as, well, you can get the Holy Spirit just through the written word. That's the only way. And I think what I'm learning is the Spirit's always been active, and we were hesitant to talk about it because we didn't understand these moments. My other revelation this morning, it seems like when the Holy Spirit shows up, even in our lives, we are compelled to share who Jesus is.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. By the way, he doesn't show up.
Always been there. All right.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Yes.
I'm just going to say this because I want you all to know. But tomorrow, I'm going to be celebrating probably the best decision, at least the second best decision I ever made in my life. And it'll be our 58th wedding anniversary.
Good for you. Good for you. Good for you. Good. Good for you. Okay, anybody else got anything to say? Tom?
Yeah, today it's kind of a special day. I have a song request. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Toby. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's 58 years also.
Number 86. Thank you. Good Lord bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good Lord bless you. Today. Yes. Yes.